And with that, I will hand it over to Heidi Dempsey, who is the lead speaker this afternoon.
Thank you. Okay, is this working okay? Oh, yes, I can hear. Okay, first I wanted to nag everyone to please post your project talks. We have a Genie webpage, this is it, on the Genie Wiki. So if you log in, you can post whatever talk you gave during GEC3. And if you don't, then we're going to hunt you down afterwards. So please do. Okay, so I'm going to give about a 10-minute overview of what we have in mind for end-to-end slicing on the Genie network, particularly what we're building for this first year. A lot of the architecture documents give a much more complete and long-term picture about what end-to-end slicing can be, but we have to start by building something that'll work first and go from there. So I'm going to have to talk it at a very high level about most of this stuff, but if anybody's interested in hearing more details, please come to the OMIS working group breakout session, and we'll be going through the pictures and talking about things in more detail then. Okay, so this is the slide that Chip showed earlier in the day on what the Genie vision is for where we're trying to go with this programmable virtual substrate and nodes and components of the Genie network, and the idea that the Genie system is made up of lots of heterogeneous parts. So no one here owns the entire Genie network. No one here is solely responsible for the entire Genie network, and the only way it's going to work is if everybody comes up with a way to cooperate on building this. So if you zoom in a little bit more from that high-level picture, this is talking about the different levels of organization that you see that I'm going to use later on in the talk. So at the top level, we've talked about the different clearinghouses that there are. And by top, I don't mean anything to imply, you know, value or importance or anything like that. It's just top on the picture. So the clearinghouse is the thing that lets you do the resource discovery and the authorization to set up and use slices and get resources allocated to those slices. So that gives you the slice data plane, which goes across here in yellow. Underneath that is your control plane, and the aggregate controllers or the aggregate managers that people have talked about in the control framework talks sit there, and the clearinghouse can communicate with them directly. In some cases, a researcher may communicate with them directly. And you see that at this level, there are a bunch of, in this case, processors that are assigned to the slice that's shown above and also available for other people to use in the Genie network. So the red processors are not available, the green ones are available, and the yellow ones have been given to this particular slice that we're showing here. At the base level of the picture is the data transport. So this is what the substrate group worries about, the nodes, the physical connections, and the data transport layer. And there's also an O&M plane that will connect in at least at this layer and maybe at some other layers as well. So why do we need to do end-to-end slicing to make that picture work? There are certainly experiments that might be just fine without end-to-end slicing, might use existing protocols that don't include slicing. But one of the things that Genie wants to make sure we get a chance to do is to make it possible to use new protocols and support experiments that don't use IP. So one of the ways that you can do that is setting up some kind of slicing that supports connections at layer 2 and then letting people build other kinds of protocols on top of it. So that's one of the reasons why we're making sure that we do this in year 1, even though we have a very short time frame to do it. The other reason is simply to gain some experience. If you have prototype networks and clearinghouses that can actually do things to control what the network looks like, then you should exercise that and learn more about what the requirements are going to be if you have that capability. And we need to get that kind of information in the first year to refine the design and figure out what the requirements are better. So The other reason, which is pretty obvious, is that we have 29 projects that are going to actually need to be running in 6 to 12 months. So if we don't figure out how to connect them, then we have no genie. And in order to make that feasible, we have to focus on the connections within the control clusters, not necessarily between all 29 in a big end-to-end mesh. A word of warning, what we do in Spiral 1 is not the final solution. It will change. We don't think in the GPO that virtual Ethernet LANs are the solution to everybody's network problems, but we think it's the way to go to get something up and running in the first year. So these are all straw men, and feel free to speak up and propose alternates. The other thing is don't panic. I think we scared a bunch of projects by saying you have to do layer 2 in the first year without giving guidance on how that was going to happen. So if all you have is IP connections right now, don't worry. It's perfectly fine to start out with that. We want to start out with that. You've seen actually some projects already that have other options that they're either working on or are working in their test beds. But we expect people to be able to evolve to native Genie over the year. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry, Internet Protocol.
Or intellectual property.
I'm sorry.
Did you use the microphone, Danny?
Yeah, I can't.
Is it IPv4,
IPv6? Oh, IPv4 or IPv6. Most people right now have IPv4. Genie is agnostic about which one you use. Okay, so how are we going to do this? You heard the discussion about what the vertical slices are. What I'm going to talk about more today are the horizontal slices. And a slice is a slice. Vertical and horizontal are just models to be able to think about them. So don't be confused if you go and look in the Genie definitions and find that there's no such thing as vertical and horizontal. So ideally, we're trying to get to this native Genie everywhere. But in Spiral 1, we're going to do combinations of native Genie in some pieces, some configured stuff, some manual procedures in some places, and pure IP in other places. Okay, so a little bit more about the IP. The control plane is going to use IP initially and in the foreseeable future, at least in most of the discussions that we've heard. There are some experiments that want to use only IP for the short term and the long term. An example of this, one of the projects that's going to talk to us, the vehicular mobile network has people sitting on buses who are accessing things out in the commercial network from the bus. And that project's going to connect into Genie, but those people still need to be able to get out to the commercial IP network as well. So that's a perfectly good reason to keep doing that. What IP connections do let us do is to early on integrate everybody together. So test out whether the aggregate manager can talk to the clearinghouse. Test out whether we can build any connections at all, layer 2, never mind, just can we connect via IP. And we think we can get those connections up quickly so that people can have maximum amount of time to integrate. So that'll be a reason to start with it. And the CMU testbeds project, which is also going to speak after me, is an example of where there are a bunch of testbeds that are already accessible that way, and adding them into Genie using IP makes it feasible to do that quickly. Now, this isn't to say that we just snap our fingers and everything is connected. Obviously, we have to pay attention to what routing and peering and preferences and things like that are needed. And Mike Patton, who works with me in the operations group, is going to be our expert to make sure that that happens, and there are lots of experts in the projects, too. So work with your GPO system engineers on that. We're also working with the campuses and the enterprise IT engineers. We've started getting in touch with the CIOs, as Chip mentioned, but we're also getting in touch with each research group or each research project's IT contacts. And we're also working with the National Backbone Networks, who will be speaking later today about what they're providing and how they want to work with you, as well as the regional networks represented by the Quilt at this conference today. The final thing I want to mention is that we are planning to use the track system in order to keep everybody informed about what's happening in each of these 29 research projects and each of the control clusters. So, for example, those milestones that everybody negotiated that show up in your statement of work, those will all show up on the Track Wiki system as milestones with dates so that all the projects can see when the pieces they need are coming together. And feel free to use that for more detailed tracking and communication of information if you want to. A little bit more about the non-IP connections. What we're proposing is that we can use gigabit virtual Ethernets, layer 2 Ethernets, in both of the backbones. In some places, there's much higher bandwidths available, but we know that we can at least do this everywhere we need to get to for all the Genie projects we have now. So that's going to be kind of our entry level of doing the end-to-end data slicing. We don't think that there'll be just one big mesh. We think there'll be multiple VLANs, and you'll see more about that when the projects, like John Turner's overlay hosting project, speak about the details of what their connections look like, and the Proto-Genie nodes that Rob talked about earlier this morning. Those are enabling the VLANs to be built and tracked along with what the backbone providers and the regional networks are doing. So I mentioned that the VLANs right now, they just go in the backbone. Obviously, you have to get them across the regionals in order to reach the projects, labs, or the sites on people's enterprise networks. We're in the early stages of talking to each regional for each project about that and going through a provisioning process with all of them. Generally, we're getting positive feedback from the regionals that that's possible. And some regionals are actually funded by Genie and on the project teams as well. So in the case of Ben, for example, that was discussed this morning, there's very active cooperation with the native Genie format there. And then the last thing that is pretty interesting and exciting and different from what a lot of research labs do now is the Enterprise Genie project, which lets us get that last mile onto the campus or onto a corporate network where often the research connections can't go now, because it allows you to manage those VLANs and yet simultaneously to protect your production infrastructure. So that would give us access to a lot more traffic and a lot more potential people to use the Genie network. And Stanford is the first lucky place that's going to try that, and they are going to try that in year one. So this is a picture that Mike kindly drew up for us, showing what the idealized end-to-end data slice looks like if you have connections all the way from a campus through the regionals and the national backbones. And basically what we're trying to show here is the little squares that are checkerboards. I'm going to talk about it without looking at it because it doesn't seem to work when I look that way, examples of the resource programmable routers like John's or Rob's or other people's compute resources that will allow you to generate the virtual paths. So you see clearinghouse connections going over IP into all of those compute resources, saying what VLANs need to be set up or saying what kind of resources need to be available. And those nodes can do some translation. And then using the Ethernet switches, which are shown there as a kind of a tannish circle, you can set up corresponding connections through the backbone, the regional, and the campus to get to the project site that you want to have access to the Genie network. So that's the really fast version of that. And then the other thing I mentioned was really most of these are going to be mixed protocol connections. So that example, although ideal, will probably not, the one that we just showed, will probably not represent most of the Genie cases in Spiral 1. All of you can do it, yay, that's excellent. but there are some kinds of experiments that never want to get, like I said, don't need to get to layer 2 Ethernet. And there are prototypes where it may be possible to do something like that in year two, but not in year one. So we'll have combinations of tunnels and the native Genie Ethernet connections to support those kind of projects. And the Orca Bend project is an example of where they're, you know, actively pushing the limits for how they can set up combinations of tunnels and native genie connections. So this one, which I'm not even going to attempt to discuss, shows various pictures of what the tunnels might look like, what you might do for L2 Ethernet tunnels, what you might do for IP and IP tunnels, and how you could connect different kinds of projects together. So this one you have to come to OMIS if you want to hear more about. Okay, so what do you do about this now that you've had the lightning tour to end-to-end slicing? Look at what you want to do in your project and talk about it with your Genie system engineer. Your Genie system engineer is on the line to make sure that you get the end-to-end data connections that you need. So figure it out and talk to us as soon as possible. And we're coordinating with the regionals as well as the backbone providers to make sure that that happens so we can save you some time. And I know from the contract discussions that everybody needs to save some time. The other thing that you should do is talk to the other people in your control frameworks about what connections you need to do demos. So think now about the demos that you want to do or the experiments that you want to be able to support in your cluster and what you need for those. And we'll put those at the top of the list and make sure we get those integrated and running first. How much bandwidth? What are the endpoints? Are there any performance requirements? Things like that. Of course, the usual integration and prototyping watchword, keep everything simple. If you want to increase the chances of everything working right and you want to be able to get it up as soon as possible so you have as much time to integrate as possible, keep it simple. And please use the wiki and use the tickets to tell us when something is due, when you think it's needed for your project. And we will be watching those things, and if something slips, we will be escalating anything like that. So we're putting the schedules up based on milestones, but anything else that you feel is important enough that it needs to be watched by the GPO system engineers, please put it in there yourselves. The OMIS and control group working mailing lists are probably going to have a lot of overlap with the integration and Spiral 1 efforts, so I'd recommend that you sign up for those and watch them. They're fairly low volume, at least so far. I expect there'll be more volume than they've been in the past couple of months, but they should stay low. And finally, share your results. Publish to the mailing lists. Say things at the working group meetings and schedule yourself to do presentations at GEC, like the four projects who are going to follow me. So you can learn from them and they can learn from you. And like Chip said, we can get a better solution by combining multiple projects. And that's it. And if there's any questions, we can take them, or you can come to OMIS. And have I said that enough times?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.